Well, going to continue our study on prayer tonight, and the guys are passing out some pieces of paper that you can use and kind of follow along in the lesson and take home and use for yourself as you try to work on your prayer life. And I hope that these lessons have been helpful to you and just stimulating and motivational to you to work diligently on your relationship to God, your personal relationship through prayer. Wally told me that since we started late this morning and my preaching that we were late starting, that he actually owed me about 15 more minutes tonight in my sermon. So really thankful for that. But I'm probably not going to take advantage of that, Wally, because since I'm losing my voice, I'll probably be whittling things out as I go through. Because I think I'm not going to make it through the lesson tonight. But I'll start by raising a question. Really, this lesson is a little bit different than some of the others. Rather than acts of prayer, different parts of prayer, I want you to think about us as a nation, a kingdom of priests. I raised the question, talking with somebody the other day about it, I raised the question, can a Christian say to someone, may God bless you? Can a Christian pronounce a blessing on someone else? Usually, you think about that in maybe more in terms of denominational language. You may hear somebody in a denomination say, God bless you, or may the Lord bless you. I don't think that tends to be more of a habit of some in the church as I've lived, as long as I've been alive. It's not our tradition. So sometimes people feel a bit awkward or hesitant to say something like, may God bless you. And certainly there are abuses of that kind of phrase. I mean, when somebody sneezes and we hear somebody say, God bless, I think that's probably not the appropriate thing to say. Though I did learn historically where that came from, which was interesting. Kevin told us it began with the bubonic plague years ago. When people thought they were getting pneumonia and they sneezed, they'd say, God bless you. But with ideas like that, Christians sometimes are kind of squeamish. Maybe they say, should I say that? Can I say, may God bless you, or God bless you? And so we think, well, I better not chance it. Sounds kind of strange anyway, because not many people do it. But I want to say tonight that being a blessing and blessing our fellow man is a very important part of the life of a Christian. I'm going to address this tonight from talking to you about what it is to be a priest. In the New Testament system, of course, all Christians are priests. God, Jesus is our high priest, and Christians are priests as well. But let's look real quick back at the Old Testament, see where did that expression come from, originate with, may God bless you. Let's look at two or three passages in Genesis. Genesis 24, verse 60. 24:60. There's several places in the Old Testament where someone pronounces a blessing on somebody else. Here, Laban's family is about to send Rebekah away as she's going to be the wife of Isaac. And look in verse 60. It says, and they blessed Rebekah and said to her, may you, our sister, become thousands of ten thousands. May your descendants possess the gate of those who hate them. So they bless her. But what do they do? Who is going to provide that blessing? That she becomes thousands of ten thousands. Well, God would. So for the really, we're going to find out that for the most part, pronouncing blessings were prayers towards someone. It wasn't that there was some special holy person that had some type of special access to God's blessings to pull down, to pass on, but that they simply prayed to God on behalf of someone. Look over to Genesis chapter 27. Genesis 27. Here we have Isaac pronouncing a blessing upon Jacob. You remember Jacob was the second born. Esau should have inherited a blessing, but through deception, Jacob does. So, Jacob approaches Isaac. He came close and kissed him. And when he smelled the smell of his garments, he blessed him. And he said, "See, the smell of my son is the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Now may God give you the dew of heaven, the fatness of the earth, the abundance of grain and new wine. May people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be masters of your master of your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be those who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you." So, Isaac pronounces the blessing, but who actually gives the blessing to Jacob? God himself. So, but the patriarch here is pronouncing a blessing upon his son. And then one other example. Look over to Numbers chapter 6 real quick. Numbers chapter 6. This is what was called the priestly blessing that was pronounced by the priest on the sons of Israel. Verse 22 through 27. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, Thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. And so they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and then I will bless them." This was a priestly prayer. But it was God who gave the blessing to Israel. So when we see this idea of may God bless you, you have someone through prayer and intercession is passing on the blessing of God. Now, with that in front of us, I want you to stop and think with me for a few minutes also about the function of a priest, because this is directed toward the priest in the Old Testament. The Bible teaches us that God and man were separated because of man's sin, even in the garden, that he lost his relationship, and that fellowship needs to be restored. Man needed a mediator, someone, a go-between, somebody to stand between him and God and bridge that gap that had been destroyed, that bridge had been broken by sin. Well, we know that in the Bible, Christ is the ultimate mediator between man and God. But under the law of Moses, working toward that ultimate mediator, there were men that were designated in the Old Testament to be priests. And under the law of Moses, the tribe of Levi was chosen, and Numbers chapter 6 kind of focuses on that tribe. Their role was to be mediators between God and the nation of Israel. See, earlier, Genesis, it was the patriarch that was the mediator between the person who wanted the blessing, but now it is the tribe of Levi. Well, what was the work of a priest? What was his function? What did he really do? Well, somebody might say, he worked in the temple, took care of things in the temple. People would bring the sacrifices, and they would offer the sacrifices to God. And that's right. The person who brought it, though, he didn't put the sacrifice on the altar. The priest did. And the person who would not take the blood in before the Lord, but the priest would take the blood in and provide and before the Lord. So part of the priest's role was a mediator between man and God. It was to take what man brought and take it before the Lord to present it, right? But it worked the other way too. The priest also had a job to take the blessings of God and pass them on to men. How would they do that? They would teach the law of God. That was part of their role, the teachers of the law. They would pass on the blessing of the revelation of God's will to the people. They would pronounce blessings upon the people, just like we read in Numbers chapter 6. They would invoke God's name that he would bless the people. So, what does that have to do with us? That's all interesting, fascinating to read about that, but what does that have to do with us? Well, because we're not under the patriarchal age, and we're not under the Mosaical age, not part of the tribe of Levi, but there is another step that's involved in this that I want you to take with me. Look to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19, and we're going to read verse 4 through 6. This is at Mount Sinai, after Moses had led the people out of Egypt and brought them to the mountain. And God met with them, the people. And here's what he said to Moses when he went up on the mountain. He said in verse 4 through 6, "You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you should speak to the sons of Israel." Well, I want you to notice that these people were his special people. They were his own possession. And it was a nation that was going to occupy the position of priest. Did you see that phrase? Did you see where he said that you will be my own possession? You shall be to me a kingdom of priests. Notice he did not say, I'm going to establish a priesthood among you. He said that you will be a nation of priests. Well, if Israel as a nation is a priest, who is it a priest to? It's a priest to all the other nations. I want you to think about this. Anytime you see this phrase, all the nations, that should make you think of the promise that God made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. That he said that that through your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Remember that? So, God would make Israel a kingdom of priests, and He would make them holy so that they could mediate God's blessings to all the nations. How would they do that? Well, they were going to be custodians of the law. They would have God's law. He would give them that. And so they could reveal knowledge of God to the nations around them. And then ultimately, God would use Israel as a blessing to all the nations of the earth by sending His Son, Jesus the Christ, through them. Jesus was born of the flesh. He was an Israelite. His parents were Israelites. The apostles that He chose were all Israelites. And the first Christians that received the gospel were even Israelites. So through their blessing of salvation, what the Jews, Jesus Christ was born to the Jews, through that blessing, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Well, I want us to pick up on a phrase that's mentioned here just one more time when he says in verse 6, "You shall be to me a kingdom of priests," and I want you to, a holy nation. Now that's all the Old Testament system, but I want you to notice how Peter applies that in the New Testament. Look over, if you would, with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. And I think in seeing this, we're going to see how it applies to us. Peter is writing to Christians now, and he says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. For you were not once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." I want you to notice that Peter said that the words that at one time were true of the nation of Israel are now true of us. That we are responsible to be a blessing to all the nations. Why is that? Because we are the seed of Abraham. And if I said, "Well, how in the world could we be related to Abraham?" Someone would jump up and they would say, "If you belong to Abraham, if you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise," right? I want you to to notice that we tend to read Genesis chapter 12, 1, 2, and 3 sometimes, where he says that in your seed all the nations will be blessed. And we tend to see ourselves there, and we tend to think, wow, we are so blessed in how God has blessed us. We are the ones who have been blessed. But I want you to notice that as Abraham's seed, we are to be a blessing to others. So I want you to think about this practically, and it involves our role in praying. It should involve us in change the way that we pray sometime. It's not only appropriate for a Christian to say, "May God bless you," or to pronounce a blessing on someone, but it is very important for us to do that. Because Christians are the only ones who have the right to say, "May God bless you." Does that make sense? That we are the family of Abraham, the seed of Abraham. We are the priestly nation. We're the ones that were made holy by the blood of Jesus. And there's a whole world out here that does not know Christ, who have not received His blessings, and have not been made holy. And so, you know, whereas many of our friends and our loved ones, you know, really don't have a right standing with Christ and don't have the ability to stand before God and petition God on behalf of others and intercede for others, we are in that position. We're kind of like Abraham, who stood and petitioned God on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah. He went before the Lord to intercede for them. Or maybe like Moses, who interceded so many times for Israel when they were disobedient to the Lord. We are in a position to pray for others. We're the ones that are told to pray for kings and rulers. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Nobody else is given that position. I'm saying this is a privileged position. But it is the position of the ones who God has allowed to come into His presence to intercede on behalf of others. And just like in the Old Testament, that was Israel who was given that right to do that on behalf of all the nations. Us as spiritual Israel, the seed of Abraham, were given that privilege to do that, to intercede for people today. We are the ones as Christians, as the seed of Abraham, that we have a standing to offer prayers before God. We're the ones that have the opportunity to pray for the lost in sin, that they may hear His words. So, when we pray, and we do this, we may not use the words all the time. We may not say to another person, "May God bless you." Okay, I may not say that. But a lot of times when we pray, we'll say, "Lord, bless this," or "bless this person." "Bless the Lomans who are moving to Africa." "Bless, you know, so-and-so who's doing this." We need to take that seriously. These are not just words that should just fall off of our lips in some kind of rote, meaningless form. We are saying, as a priestly nation, we've come into the presence of God, and we are invoking His name and His blessings upon some individual or some family member or some person. And we're standing there before Him on their behalf. And we have a right to do that. And that is an incredible privilege to do. So we should do that with care, not as an act or a ritual, but as a privilege, because, you know, blood was shed for us. We stand in this humble position, responsible to pray to others, to the Lord on their behalf. So, again, it's not, and I want to take that just a little bit a step further. That involves principally our position before God in prayer to intercede for others. But it's not just okay to say, "May God bless you." It's also important for us to live a life like a priestly nation, so we can bring God's blessings on every person that we come in contact with. Let me say that again in case you're... It's not enough that we just pray for others and ask God's blessings upon others. We need to live a life like a priestly nation, so we can bring God's blessings on every person that we come into contact with. And so I raise the question, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, is your life a blessing to others? Again, we tend to think in terms of blessings that we receive. And we do. We should think about the blessings we receive. Because until we appreciate what we've received, a lot of times we're not going to turn around and try to bless other people. But we think a lot of terms and times in terms of blessings we receive. We sing songs like Count Your Many Blessings. We do that and kind of stirs in us thoughts about things that we've received. We may sing praise to God, O Thou Fount of Every Blessing. I read that there's another song that's called Make Me a Channel of Blessing, which deals a little bit more with what we're talking about tonight, that God would use us in such a way to be a blessing to other people. You know, part of the work of a priest was to communicate the blessings of God to those who didn't know them, didn't know Him. Turn, if you would, with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look at just a couple of examples. We tend to think, I think, that Christianity is mainly about avoiding sin. We tend to think that, you know, if we can, as long as we don't do sin, don't disobey God, then we're holy or we're godly and that we're doing what God wants us to do. But I'm going to suggest that's not true. There was more to being a proper priest than just avoiding sin. A priest had to avoid sin in order to be holy, to come into God's presence, but that wasn't his work. He just had to avoid sin so he could come into God's presence. The priest's work involved doing things. Look at how our life should be a blessing to others. Look in chapter 4 of Ephesians, verse 28. He says, let him who steals steal no longer, but rather let him labor, performing with his own hands what is good, in order that he may have something to share with him who is in need. You see, that's a good illustration of how it's... Do we have to be holy? Yes, we have to be holy. We should not steal. But it's not enough to say that we can't steal. He says what we should do. We should share what we've been given with others, with him who is in need. Chapter 4, verse 29. Look at this as just another illustration. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. It's not enough. You know, we'll say we can't say inappropriate things. We'll teach our children, don't say that. That's not appropriate. We need to watch our mouths. We shouldn't swear. We shouldn't say things that are ugly to other people. That's a good thing. We shouldn't do that. That is remaining holy by being separate and not using that type of language. But that's not enough. That's not doing anything. That's just resisting, you know, doing things that are unholy. What we need to do, he says, is to use our speech as a blessing to others. Utter only such a word is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. So, you know, we raise the question, is our speech a blessing? Do your words build people up? Is our life a blessing to others by the words that we speak and the things that we say? You know, to be a true child of Abraham, one must have the faith to believe and obey God, but also to do so in a way that it can be said that all of the nations of the earth are blessed. Are people blessed by me? Ask that about yourself. Because, you know, we are to be a blessing to the nations around us. We might think of many of God's people who have been a blessing to us. If you just stop and think for a minute, you may think about how God's people have blessed you. They've pronounced a blessing upon you through prayer, or they've done something for you. Certainly we have illustrations in the Bible. You remember the illustration of Dorcas in Acts chapter 9. When she died, think about all the people that came to her funeral. Remember that? And they brought all of these tapestries and all these quilts and all of these types of things that she had made for them. Here was Dorcas, and she had been a blessing. She was fulfilling her priestly role, or the role that as a nation of priests to be a blessing to other people. And or what about Philemon in verse that little letter there in verse 7 when Paul was commending him. And he said, for I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. brother. Here's a man who had been a blessing, refreshing the hearts of other Christians. Certainly our prayers for one another is a way that we can invoke God's blessing, be a blessing to others in our life. When we pray for each other, that's really the essence of what it means to be a priestly nation. That's being a true child of Abraham through which all the nations of the earth will be blessed. I want to tell you, it's funny sometimes how when we hear these things about Abraham and him being and the promises of Abraham, we can somehow put that in a container back here in the Old Testament and fail to see how that involves us. And it just becomes something we memorize, or we kind of go through, you know, try to put it in a story form and remember it a little bit, what happened to Abraham. But really, we are directly involved in that promise to Abraham. We are the seed of Abraham. We are the descendants of his, through which God intended all the nations of the earth to be blessed. Certainly Jesus was the fulfillment of that promise in the ultimate way. He was the seed through which, you know, God would bless all the nations. But we too, as we read in, we know Galatians 3 and verse 29, are part of the seed of Abraham if we belong to Christ. We are heirs of the promise, and therefore we are that nation of priests that God has given this world. So, concluding, how good a priest are you? How good a priest are you? Are we living in such a way that someone would say, it is such a blessing to have that person around? Do they say that about you? You know, the way they conduct themselves, the things that they say, the things that they do, the way they show their love for us, the way they show their concern for us, you know, that really is a lot of what it's about to be a priestly nation. Again, it's not that we have the power within ourselves to bless others, but we, by God's grace, can share the blessings that we've received from God with other people. We share by God's word. When we point people to Him, we are acting as a priestly nation, teaching the nations about Him. When we pray for others, we petition Him on their behalf. They can't come into God's presence, but we have that great privilege, and we can do that on behalf of others. That's what it means to be a priest. That's what it means to be a child of God. That's what it means to be a son of Abraham. I want you to think about that as a goal this week when you work on your prayer life. When you approach God in prayer, to think of yourself as part of a priestly nation who's been given a great privilege, and you come and you stand before Him on behalf of this world. And you have a lot of power through that prayer to petition the Lord to bless others and to bring blessings into their lives. And He hears our prayers. So that's something for you to work on this week as you continue your prayers. I hope that you've made some progress over the last few weeks. I'll tell you that I plan to bring this series to an end at the end of the year. I might do one or maybe two or three more lessons, but that way you'd have a light at the end of the tunnel. You know, these sometimes series can seem endless, but I did more than just three or four lessons because I thought sometimes it takes time for us to build good habits. So I hope that through these lessons it'll help us to become more devoted to the Lord and build our relationship with Him. Maybe tonight you're not a part of that kingdom of priests, that holy nation that God has made. And we would invite you, by His word, to come and be a part of that people. He has been working on this plan since the days of Abraham and even before the world began. And He made a plan in Jesus to open a door and provide a way for you to come into His presence too. It's not that we're an exclusive people that's where the doors are shut and nobody else can come in. No, we are just blessed because we were privileged to come in before God's presence. And we want to invite others because God's arms are open and the sacrifice has been made. And if we will submit to Him, if you'll submit to Him in baptism and make a commitment to serve Him with all your heart, you too can be a part of that blessing that God has poured out to all the nations. Thank you for listening, and I hope that this would be an opportunity for you to make a commitment to the Lord tonight. And if you would like to make that known, then you can come forward as we stand and sing.